Do you know that from your position, you can change a situation? Do you also know that you are the master over the created world and that you are meant to rule over everything God has made? Listen carefully to Pastor Segun Obaje as he brings to you with simplicity and clarity the message of the new creation realities in Christ Jesus. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, our hearts are open to receive your word today. We thank you for you've been faithful in time past, pumping your word into our spirits, and we have been this blessed by reason of your word. Today, Lord, our hearts are open to receive once again. Father, speak to us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let every man, everyone, every woman, every boy, every girl be transformed by your word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We take authority over every foul spirit that seeks to militate against the ministry and the flow of the word of God. We bind you right now. You have no part in this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Once again, welcome the church. This is a special month for us. It's a month of fruitfulness. Glory to God. The Lord has spoken well concerning us. He has called this month for us the month of fruitfulness. And our anchor scripture here is taken from Genesis chapter 1. And verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Okay? So God blessed them. How? He said unto them, he said something unto them. He spoke the word unto them. So every time and any time the word is coming to you, the blessing of God that God has blessed you with in Christ is about to be made manifest by reason of the word of God. Amen? The spoken word of God. Now we have the antecedent of God's speaking, God's communication in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay? So what God spoke into existence came into existence. And then the Bible tells us again in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6. All right? It says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. All right? Don't forget Genesis 1 and verse 3. Let there be light, God said, and there was light. All right? Let there be firmament, all right, in the sky, and it was so. It was so. Again, the Bible tells us in verse 9. Of Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And it was so. I want you to follow this sequence. And then again, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, the Bible tells us, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. It was so. Glory to God. And then again, in verse 14, all right, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Verse 15, the Bible tells us, and let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Glory to God. And then again in verse 24 of the same chapter of Genesis, all right, Genesis chapter 1, and the Bible tells us, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. All right, now come to verse 28, all right, that we read earlier. Okay, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And it was, okay, you got it now. It was so. Amen. God blessed them. He blessed humanity. The blessing of the Lord is upon you. Glory to God. We said this during Bible study on Wednesday, that the blessing that God commanded upon Adam, humankind, Adam forfeited the privilege of carrying that blessing as the federal head of humanity, and then God looked for another man. He found Abraham. Glory to God. And then commanded that same blessing upon Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. On the ground of faith. Faith. Glory to God. You know, Genesis chapter 12, you start reading from verse 1 to verse 3. God called Abraham out of his country, out of his people, to a place that he would show him. And then God blessed him. Amen. He made a promise, I mean, many promises of blessing to Abraham. Glory to God. And he fulfilled those promises. And the Bible tells us very clearly from God's word in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. It says, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Glory to God. So God made wonderful promises to Abraham. And those promises, if you look at those promises, analyze those promises, and then compare them with the blessing that God conferred on Adam, humankind, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, I tell you, every word reflects, you know, the reality of God's promises made to Abraham. Praise God. So the blessing that Adam couldn't carry for disobedience, for transgression, God has conferred the same blessing on Abraham. And the Bible tells us that the promise was made to Abraham and his seed. And the Bible tells us that if you be in Christ, if ye are Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed. Glory to God. So the blessing is upon you in Christ. Can someone say amen to that? If you're born again, you're a child of God, the blessing is upon you. The blessing is upon you. It's called the commanded blessing. And that is the blessing that makes for fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Now, I want us to trace very briefly the root of fruitfulness. Of course, as it has to do with the blessing of Abraham, the root of fruitfulness. Glory to God. Today we're looking at the root of fruitfulness. What is the cause of fruitfulness? Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, and God blessed them. The word blessed there simply means, you know, from the root word barak, it means to empower, to prosper, to favor, to cause, to have an advantage. To cause, to advance. Glory to God. Okay? That's what that word means. Barak. And it's a word that reveals God's empowerment. Alright? Or an empowerment conferred by a greater one on someone who is lesser. Glory to God. Alright? Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 7. The Bible tells us, we know that without controversy or contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. So the idea of the blessing is the greater standing, all right, conferring an advantage and an empowerment on the lesser. Did you see that? So that means that that word, all right, simply means submission to receive. That's what it means. Submission to receive. Now, the empowerment that the blessing brings is actually an empowerment that comes to you in the posture of submission. In fact, the word barak, if you ask any Jew or Hebrew person, will tell you it simply means kneel, kneel down, kneel. Amen? All right? It simply means kneel to receive. So, if you see in the Hebrew culture, you see anybody kneeling down, all right, that means the person has taken the posture to be blessed or of the blessing. So you see, elders will place their hand and say, be blessed. Amen. That's what that word means. So when God, listen very carefully, when God conferred the blessing on humanity in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, Adam was kneeling down. He was kneeling before God. He was on his knees before God. Praise God. He was kneeling. Now, Adam stood up in rebellion and disobedience when he transgressed the commandment of God. So what that means is Adam left the posture of the blessing. In other words, he departed from that place of the blessing. God's blessing is irreversible. God is not going to take his blessing back. But the man had forfeited the privilege, the opportunity to be the carrier, the federal head, and the carrier of the blessing. The blessing God conferred on humanity. So God began to look for another person. Glory to God. Amen. He began to look for another person to place the blessing on. All right. So the root of fruitfulness here, don't forget it says, and God blessed them, Barak. And God said unto them, be fruitful. Now, to be fruitful simply means to produce and reproduce. All right. It simply means to increase and make progress. That's what it means. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. So the reason for the fruitfulness, or the cause of the fruitfulness, is the blessing. Is the blessing. All right. Now, it's not human effort. Of course, it is important to be diligent, but that is not the root of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is rooted in the blessing conferred on man. The blessing. Come on, say the blessing. All right. I can't hear you. Say the blessing. All right. Now, God began to look for another man that would take the posture of surrender, submission, reliance, all right, dependence on God. And he found Abraham. He found Abraham. Glory to God. Now, what was the reason why God conferred his blessing upon Abraham? Faith. Genesis 12 and verse 1, the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred to thy, from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. All right? And then he made him awesome promises. Let's jump to verse 4 for time. The Bible tells us, so Abraham departed. All right. In other words, there was what is known as the obedience of faith made manifest through his life. He heard the word, get out of your country, your people, to a place that I will show you. So Abraham departed. So Abraham departed. So Abraham departed. And all through his life, from Genesis 12 to Genesis 24, Abraham obeyed God every step of the way. He never assumed a posture contrary to the posture of the blessed. The blessed posture, the posture of the blessed, is the posture of surrender, submission to God. Period. Amen? That's it. All right. You remember when, you know, Sarah suggested to him, the wife suggested to him and said, look, cast out the bondwoman, Hagar, and her son. It was difficult for Abraham. He felt like, how? And the Lord said, listen to your wife. He did it. He did it. Glory to God. Why? Because he was willing to obey God. Amen. And he took the posture of obedience. Come on, say obedience. I can't hear you. Say obedience. I can't hear you. Say obedience. Obedience. So, if you read on, this posture of the blessed is faith. Faith, absolute faith in God. Absolute faith in God. Amen? Absolute faith in God. Now, looking at Abraham, Abraham revealed to us the possibility of trusting God with our lives. It is possible and it's also a reality. You can trust God with your life. All right? You can trust God with your life. Now, if you're not willing to trust God with your life, though you're blessed in Christ, it will not manifest. Because you're not taking that posture. God is not going to withdraw his blessing. God is not going to reverse his blessing. His blessing has gone forth. All right? You see, the Bible says the calling of God, all right, is irrevocable. The gift and the calling of God are irrevocable. When God blesses, he blesses and he has blessed. He's not going to withdraw it. All right? But are you going to live worthy of the blessing? Are you going to live under the influence and the impact of the blessing? That's the question. Praise God. Now, Genesis chapter 15, very quickly. We'll start reading from verse 1, looking at Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, all right, and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward." And then verse 2. And Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." And Abraham said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And verse 4, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And then the Bible tells us in verse 5, "And he brought him forth abroad." God brought Abraham forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." All right? Abraham didn't have a child. So shall thy seed be. God said, "So shall thy seed be as the stars of heaven." Verse 6. And Abraham believed in the Lord. And he, the Lord, counted it unto him for what? Righteousness. Do you know this would have been counted, you know, for righteousness would have been counted for Adam or to Adam, but he didn't believe God. He doubted God's word, disobeyed God. So righteousness was not counted unto him. You know, I discovered something while studying about Adam. And I discovered that every time God interacted with Adam, it was God that spoke to him. It was God that came to him. Adam didn't even have the privilege to go to God. There was no time that Adam went to God and said, "Okay, there's something in my heart that I wanted to discuss with you." No. No. When the first time God spoke to him, all right, was when God blessed him. "Be fruitful and multiply." It was God that spoke to him. All right. The second time God created all the animals, brought them to him, all right, and said, you know, "Name them." And he did. The third time, you know, God spoke to him, all right, was when God gave him a commandment. Praise God. And he said, "Of all the fruits of the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. On the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." And then the other time God spoke to him was when God, you know, brought his wife to him. And he said, "This is now bone of my bone." Adam said so. "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, shall be called woman." And then God said, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Now this is the point. Adam didn't receive the righteousness to approach God. Why? Because God had not yet tested him. If Adam passed that test, Adam would have received that righteousness to stand before God, praise God, and to speak to God. Amen? And after the fall of man, after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, every man that lived sought righteousness, the same righteousness, the right and the privilege to approach God, to have interaction, communion with God. This was what Abel was looking for. You remember? All right. The Bible tells us that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And the Bible says God himself testifying of his gift that he was righteous. This was what he was looking for. Righteousness. Glory to God. This was what Noah was looking for. Amen. This was what he was looking for. Noah was looking for this same righteousness. If you look at verse 5. All right, look at verse 5. Go to 7. Thank you. 7. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, but by the which he condemned the world and became what? Heir of the righteousness which is by faith. This was what he was looking for. Amen. So we see here, this was what Enoch was looking for in his walk with God. This was what he was looking for. Amen. Look at it. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he would please God. Before his translation. This was what he was looking for. That testimony from God. That God is pleased with his life. Glory to God. So this was what, you know, Adam couldn't get. This was what, you know, Abel was looking for. This was what Enoch was looking for. All right. This was what Noah was looking for. Amen. Abel got his, but he was already dead when it came. So he couldn't use it. Amen. Enoch got his, all right, but he was caught up. So he couldn't even show us an example of living in the righteousness of God. Amen. Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith, all right, but Noah placed the curse on one of his sons. Amen. Ham. And God says, that's a bad example. I don't want that. But look at Abraham. Abraham got his. He started out in Genesis chapter 12 and then in Genesis chapter 15. Amen. God blessed him with the blessing of righteousness. Now, this blessing of righteousness is very key to enjoying fruitfulness. And I'm going to show you the link between the blessing of righteousness, which is called the blessing of Abraham. That's the blessing of Abraham, primarily. The blessing of righteousness by faith. That's the blessing of Abraham. And then how that brings the manifestation of the Spirit of God that causes fruitfulness, that brings about fruitfulness. Amen. Praise God. All right. So Abraham got it in Genesis chapter 15. And then God called a covenant with him. In Genesis chapter 12, God didn't call a covenant with him. It was just promises. Genesis 13, all right, wonderful promises. Genesis chapter 14, Melchizedek met with him. Genesis 15, the Bible tells us that God himself appeared to Abraham again. Amen. But after Genesis 15, Abraham could actually go to God and interact with God. If you look at what happened in Genesis chapter 17, it was Abraham speaking to God. Amen. Glory to God. Speaking to God, there was an interaction. In Genesis 18, if you read further, he was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. He had obtained the righteousness of faith. Praise God. So you see, this righteousness of faith is the blessing of Abraham. And God intended to confer this blessing on everyone through Abraham. Amen. The promise he made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, the core promise, God said, in thee shall all the families of the earth be what? Blessed. Blessed with what? Blessed with what? Glory to God. Blessed with the righteousness of faith. That's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 4 and verse 2. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, the works of the law, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. Verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. Verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And then look at verse 6. It's powerful. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man. So he calls it blessedness. He calls that righteousness blessedness. It's the blessing of Abraham. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. So that means in this blessing of Abraham, righteousness is forgiveness. Come on, say forgiveness. All right. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Atonement. Come on, say atonement. All right, that's the second thing there. All right, in our case, in the New Testament, atonement for us is remission of sins. All right, under the Old Testament, their sins could not be remitted because, in fact, it wouldn't be fair for God to remit their sins with the blood of animals. Amen? Animals are less valuable compared to man. So the life of man is more valuable than the life of animals. So for an animal to atone for a man effectively is unjust. The blood of an animal cannot atone for the sins of man effectively. Amen? So Jesus, a man, with the blood of God in his stream, praise God, in his body, running through his body, that blood was shed for the remission of our sins. Number one, he was not a sinner. Number two, he never committed any sin. He was not a sinner. He was not born with any sin. That's what it means. Number two, he never committed any sin. Number three, this is God in man. So the blood of Jesus, you cannot call it the blood of man. All right? Why? Because, you see, blood actually comes from life. He had the natural framework as a man, but the life in him was not the life of man. Because he didn't come from the seed of Joseph. It was not Joseph that impregnated Mary and then Jesus was born. No. All right? The seed that came to impregnate Mary, to form Jesus in Mary's womb, was from heaven, was from God, was not the seed of man, not the semen of man. Amen? So the life that he carried was the very life of God. So when Jesus died and shed his blood on the cross, what it means is this. The blood of Jesus that was shed for us contained the life of Jesus. And that is the life of God. Superior to and greater than human life. Natural human life. Praise God. So it was too good. In fact, had too much credibility to atone for the sins of men. You know, God speaking to Israel in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. It tells us, it says, for the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. And he says, and I have given to you the blood upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. So the blood that he gave them was the blood of animals. He didn't say they should kill themselves. Even if they had killed themselves, all right, they would not have had this kind of atonement that we have in the New Testament. The atonement they had was just a covering, a blanket over the sin. Those sins were still there. Little wonder, you know, the high priest had to go into the holiest of all once every year, year in, year out. Because sin could not be atoned for effectively under the law. But when Jesus came and he says, in sacrifices and offerings, thou wouldest not, you have no pleasure. Then said I, I've come in the volume of book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. So he died, and when he died, he shed his blood. Now that blood that he shed contained his life, for the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. So he shed his life, the divine life, to atone for our souls. For it is the blood, it is the blood, it is blood that atones for the soul. Glory to God. And then he purged us from our sins. Amen. I said amen. And that's powerful. That is powerful. And that's why God can look at you and say, you're justified. Amen? You're justified. What does it mean to be justified? Number one, forgiveness of sins. Don't forget that. Go back to Romans chapter 4. Number two, atonement. Atonement in our case is not just blanketing our sins. It is remitting our sins. Amen? And the blood of Jesus did a very good job. Remitted, canceled out our sins, wiped them out. Glory to God. Amen? So, he says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. That's what righteousness is. Forgiveness of sins. Number two, whose sins are covered? Atonement. Glory to God. That's remitted in our case. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Alright? And that's justification. But when people talk about justification, the only thing that comes to mind is God not imputing sin to them. Alright? But it's much more than that. There's forgiveness in justification. Amen? There's atonement in justification. And there is justification itself in justification. Praise God. And the last thing is not mentioned here in Romans chapter 4, but it's there where the scripture is quoted from in Psalm 32 and verse 1. You read it from Psalm 32 and verse 1. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. You see, that's the fourth one, new creation. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, how many things have become new? All things. So you see, in that one package called justification, we have four benefits. How many? Four benefits. Number one, forgiveness of sins. Number two, atonement, which is remission of sins in our case. Number three, justification. That means there is no reason, there's no ground on which the devil can say, hey, you have to pay for, hey, you have to, no ground anymore. You've been justified, discharged, and what? Acquitted. Glory to God. All right. Number four, new creation, regeneration. You're born anew. So you're a brand new man in whose spirit there's no guile. So on these four notes, the devil cannot stand any chance. In our lives, before us, he can't stand any chance. Before God, he cannot accuse us anymore because our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been remitted. Glory to God. No more imputing of sin to us. Amen. Glory to God. And then number four, we are born again. Hallelujah. The man who sinned and who was guilty of the sin died. This is a new man in Christ. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. And on that ground, you can go to God and you can present your case before your high priest. The devil cannot win any battle anymore, no matter what. He may take it from the past, he may take it from the present, he may try to accuse you, you know, and accuse you so that he can tarnish your future. Listen very carefully. He stands no chance. Amen? Past, present, and future. He stands no chance. Say amen to that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, we see this blessing of justification. And I want you to see this. If this is the only thing I get to establish, I tell you, you're made. Because understanding is a wellspring of life to those who have it. Amen. Now, he says, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And we know what that blessing is. The Bible says God had preached the gospel to Abraham aforetime, saying, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Did you see that? So, that blessing we've established from scriptures, that is the blessing of what? Righteousness. Justification by faith. Glory to God. That's the blessing. That's the blessing. Now, look up, please. This is very important. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, God said to Abraham. But you see, in Genesis chapter 22, in referring to this same blessing, he didn't say in Abraham. He says, in thy seed. All right? Genesis 7, 22, verses 17 and 18. Look at it. I want to show you something here. All right. We don't have to talk too much. We just establish two or three things that you can go home with. That's enough. Amen. All right. That in blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Look at verse 18. All right. And in thy seed, notice in Genesis 12 and verse 3, it says, in thee, right? In you. All right. Here is saying that in thy seed, very specific now. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. See it? So look up, please. We came into this grace of justification by faith. Understand, this is very powerful. Through faith. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 tells us, by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is not just the posture we take to be born again. It's the posture we maintain all through life. The just shall live by faith. It's not that now I'm born again, so I can now live my life. Abraham was justified, you know, by faith. God counted faith unto him as righteousness. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6 and all through, you see the man still obeying God in faith, right? You don't stop. He said, now I'm born again. I'm a Christian, so let me now start doing what is in my heart. No, the just, if you're still the just of God, you have to live by faith. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first, because it was first preached to them, and they hold the oracles of God. And also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God in the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. This is a simple way of putting it. Revealed, starting with faith, continuing in faith, and ending with faith. That's it, the life. It's not, I'm born again now. So, the just shall live by faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Not just the just shall be born again by faith, and then thereafter shall live by unbelief and doubt. No, the just in Christ, who is just and continues to be just, shall live by faith. Glory to God. You see, God repeating something 4 times in the Bible. What does that tell you? If God says a thing once, it's good enough. Because he cannot lie. And then he's saying it 4 times. The just shall live by faith 4 times in the Bible. Amen. Galatians 3 and verse 11. 4 times. Hebrews 10 and verse 38. Amen. Glory to God. Habakkuk. I believe Habakkuk chapter, is it 2? Verse what? Verse 4. The just shall live by his faith. So Habakkuk 2, 4. Romans 1, 17. Galatians 3, 11. Hebrews 10 and verse 38. God is saying the same. What does that tell you? Now, this is very important. If God says a thing once, it's good enough. You can rely on it the rest of your life. But God is saying it 4 times. Tells you it's very important. The just shall live by faith. Come on, say faith. I can't hear you. Say faith. So Abraham received a blessing. All right, and that blessing is the blessing of righteousness. And that blessing now led him to something. I want you to see this because this is very important. I want you to see this. That blessing of righteousness, forgiveness of sins, right? Atonement, remission of sins, right? Justification, no imputing of sin against us or to us, right? And then new creation, regeneration. Praise God. Now, the Bible tells us very clearly that this blessing now led to something. After that, Abraham had received justification by faith, then Abraham's body was made alive. Romans chapter 4. You start reading from verse 17. The Bible tells us, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him, before God, whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead, and cause those things which be not as though they were. See? Who against hope believed in hope that he had become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. and be not weak in faith. You see, look at it. The man believed God in Genesis 15, and he continued in faith. You know, this lifestyle, I'm born again, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and you're walking in disobedience. God is saying something to you. You're walking in disobedience, and you want the blessing to manifest. Beloved, it does not work like that. Amen? You are blessed. God, is God going to reverse the blessing? No, he will not. But you see, it won't show. Because this man entered into listen very carefully, the quickening of the spirit. That is the life-giving dimension of God, all right, in obtaining the promise. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see this in Galatians 3 very soon. Amen? Very powerful. So, and be not weak in faith, consider not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And the Bible tells us something very profound here in verse 20. He says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not. All right? There were circumstances. There were situations that warranted Abraham to stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. But the Bible tells us that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, faith here, all right, regarding what? Regarding receiving a child and being a father of many nations. You read from verse 17. I have made you a father of many nations. Not regarding, you know, inheriting the land of promise, Canaan. No. This faith here is a faith regarding becoming what? A father of many nations. Is that not fruitfulness? Is that not fruitfulness? All right. So he goes on to tell us here, all right, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised him, God was also able to perform. And then the Bible says, and therefore it was imputed to him for what? Righteousness. Now look up, please. And I was wondering, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. This is the second imputing then. Because the first imputing happened in Genesis chapter 15. All right? And at that time, Abraham just started his faith walk as to receiving a child from God, becoming a father of many nations. The first thing God said to him in Genesis 15, he says, so shall thy seed be as stars of heaven, right? In Genesis 17, he says, I have made you a father of many nations. And those two promises were quoted here in Romans chapter 4, right? From verse 17 to 22. So, the first imputing of righteousness, look up please. Amen. Is the righteousness that comes to us first and foremost at new birth when we first believed in the Lord. Amen. And that righteousness goes on. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Can we say from righteousness to righteousness? Because faith is what God counts as righteousness. And Abraham believed in the Lord. He had faith in God, and God says that's righteousness. So you see, from righteousness to righteousness, from faith to faith to faith to faith, from righteousness to righteousness. And God, look at it here. And God says, hey, I impute righteousness unto you. Excuse me. He had done this already, and he's doing it again. Amen. What does that tell you? From faith to faith. Well, I believe God. I'm already in faith. All right, stay in faith. Well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Stay in that consciousness of righteousness. Amen? 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 God says something to you. Because you have believed in Jesus, you go by what God says to you, not your feelings. Did you see that? You stay in faith every step of the way. Glory to God. Now, let me show you another one. There was another righteousness again imputed. All right. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 2. Let's start the reading from verse 20, please. But wilt thou know of any man that faith without works or action of faith is dead? Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works, that means action of faith, when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Oh. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works or actions of faith, and by works, actions of faith, was faith made perfect? Because the works here is not works of righteousness, self-righteousness, works of faith. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, God, look at it. Go back to verse 21. This is something here that you have to see. All right, 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? He was justified again at that point. He was justified at the point of receiving the promise, so shall thy seed be. All right? He was justified at the point of full persuasion that God would do it, even before Isaac showed up. Righteousness was imputed unto him again. You saw that, right? Okay. And then he's justified again at the point of offering Isaac. The Isaac had been born before, you know, this time. And God says now, Genesis 22, go and offer Isaac on the altar. Amen. You can't refute your justification by faith at new birth by disobeying God. Now, you just say, I want to do something contrary to the will of God. You see, if you do that, what you are saying is this: you didn't really trust in God. You can't refute it now. If you've been justified, you've been justified.
Yes, sir.
So continue. The just shall live by... And that's why it's a difficult thing for a Christian to walk in disobedience. It's not convenient. It's inconvenient. Amen. You have to follow. You see, did you work something out of yourself in your own strength to be saved? No. You trusted in Jesus. That's the way to continue in Christ. Amen. That's it. So, three times. First, all right, Genesis 15. All right. Second, at the verge of Isaac showing up, was fully persuaded. Amen? And then, after the birth of Isaac, God says, I still want to test this guy. Are you still in faith? You believe God for the money to show up, for the house to show up, for the business to show up, and God is saying, I still want to test you. Are you still in faith? Give me this. Do this for me. You say, Lord, I've always been in faith. I live by faith. And Abraham brought his son Isaac and said, I'm a faith man. All right, this child came by faith. All right, if you say I should drop him on the altar, well, he's gone. Amen. That is the life of a blessed man. Now, let me show you this. Now, Abraham believed God, even God who gives life to the dead, Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, and calls those things that be not as though they were. So he believed God, God who gives life to the dead. You see, this trust in God, absolute trust in God, is what releases upon our lives the ministry of the Spirit. And that is what makes for fruitfulness. Amen? The wilderness will become a fruitful field by the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now, look at the link here. We'll tie it up now. Galatians chapter 3, quickly, and verse 2. Amen. Galatians 3 and verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you see it? Jump to verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See it? So the ministry of the Spirit of God in our midst is by the hearing of faith. You hear, you believe, and then the Spirit of God is let loose. While Peter yet speak these words, the Holy Ghost fell on those who heard the word. So when you hear of faith, absolute trust in God, trust in Jesus as your Savior, trust in His word, trust in Him as your Lord and in His word as your Lord. Glory to God. You live a life of surrender. You see, don't forget, if you stand up to God like this, you have lost the privilege to have the blessing work for you. You must stay humble. stay like this. That's the posture of faith. Amen? That's the posture of faith. So that's why for us Christians, God says, stand up, you're up. Sit down, you sit down. Run, you run. Jump, you jump. Someone says, but why are you behaving like this? Posture of faith. The just shall live by faith. Absolute trust in God. Say amen to that. Now let me show you this as we close now, because I want to pray for you. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Look at it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. All right? What's the curse of the law? Cursed is everyone that continues not in all that is written in the law. All right? That means if you break one of the laws, all right, you're cursed. If you obey 99.9% and you just break 0.1, you're still cursed. That's the curse of the law. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, on the cross. To what end? Look at it. Look at verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on. Come on now. The Gentiles. Through Jesus Christ. What is that blessing? Justification. Forgiveness. Come on now. Atonement or remission. Come on now. Justification. God not imputing sin to you anymore. Amen. And number four. New creation. Glory to God. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now, where, come on, look at me. Where does this blessing of Abraham righteousness lead us to? What passage does it give us? Into what? To what end is this blessing? That we might receive, the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. Glory to God. Now look up. What happened to Abraham was that when Abraham believed God and surrendered to God's word, amen, the Spirit of God began to work in his body. The process of death was terminated. And God initiated a process of life. Because he believed in God, even God who gives life to the dead. Amen. Now, when you walk in the obedience of faith, trusting God concerning anything, it releases the ministry of the Spirit upon that thing. The works of your hands, your business, ministry, and you see the anointing starts prospering it. Amen. Glory to God. And that is what is responsible for fruitfulness. Did you see it? Abraham's body became fruitful. And even after the death of Sarah, the man was still kicking. He was alive. At old age, he had to die, or else he would still be. he was still kicking because he was still in faith. And look at the summary of his life, Genesis 25, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in what? Age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in how many things? In all things. Praise God. Now we have learned to obey God in faith. Because if you don't hear the whole gospel, you may run with half gospel. And you may not get to where you're going. But God wants you to get to where you're going. Amen? Where it's taking you. Praise God. So, a life of faith. Come on, say faith. I can't hear you. Say faith. The just shall live by. I can't hear you. The just shall live by. Church, talk to me. The just shall live by. By faith. Absolute trust and confidence in God. For we are the circumcision that worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. And that was the token of the Abrahamic covenant, fleshly circumcision. Here in Christ, the Bible calls it the circumcision of Christ. Colossians 2 and verse 11 is the circumcision of Christ. All right? And what is this token of circumcision? It's very simple. Amen? Absolute trust in God. All right? By God's grace, we'll continue at Bible study on Wednesday. Praise God. I believe you've been blessed. Amen. Now listen to this. Listen to this. All right? You are the circumcision that worship God in spirit. You rejoice in Christ Jesus. You have no confidence in the flesh. Anything that goes contrary to God's word, you have no confidence in it anymore. You have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Amen? And your confidence is in God, absolute confidence in God. That was why Abraham didn't take anything from the spoils. All right? After the battle against those people that came to seize Lot, his nephew, he told them, let's take the tithe, give it to Melchizedek, that's all. But I'm not going to take anything because nobody will say you've made Abraham rich. You see it? I make my boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Amen. Take that posture. I pray for you right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hand of the Lord is upon you. That spirit of grace, the spirit of the obedience of faith is at work in you. You live by faith. You live by faith. By the power of the Holy Ghost, you live by faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting every word that God speaks to you, acting on it by faith, glory to God, you live by faith in the name of Jesus. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. It is well with you in the name of Jesus. Now I want to pray for people who are not yet born again. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. All you need to do is repent of your sins. All right? And then confess Jesus as the Lord of your life. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you will be saved. Say these prayers after me. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I repent of my sins. I accept Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. And I declare that he's Lord of my life from henceforth. I believe that he died for my sins and he was raised again to life for my justification. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If you said that prayer, you are saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You're born again now. You're a child of God. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. What a day we've had. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Woo! Glory to God.